Today, encouraged to be announced, we have a guest speaker with us today, Steve Carrier. Steve has been traveling for over 25 years doing the strength evangelism concept, also with John Jacobs' Power Team. He also was mentored by Steve Hill from Brownsville Revival, which was also his pastor for 10 years. He has been featured on ESPN, Ripley's Believe It or Not, America's Got Talent, and holds the Guinness Book World Record for breaking 34 baseball bats in 1 minute. I'm taking it that's not by hitting pitches. Okay. He has spoken in over 1,000 public schools nationwide. His testimony is how God takes setbacks and turns them into comebacks. He was born crippled and told he would never be anything. Steve wore braces from his waist to his feet, but he also had praying parents who believed in the power of healing. He went on to shock the world, overcame all the odds, was healed, became a number one track star in high school, and captain of his high school basketball team. His story is how God takes setbacks and turns them again into comebacks. Steve's heart is to see the lost come to Jesus and broken healed. So please welcome Steve Carrier.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, somebody. I'm happy to be in Illinois, thank God. I'm glad I'm not in California or New York. Come on. I love Illinois people, some of my most favorite people. I love blue-collar, hard-working, farming people. Come on. I'm a country boy from Fort Smith, Arkansas, so I be one. Amen? I know country folks. Amen? And you know what? My grandpa and my grandma in Paris, Arkansas, my grandpa took me out and taught me how to kill a squirrel with a shotgun, and my grandma skinned the squirrel and cooked it. How many know I can say that in Illinois? Amen? Come on, are you with me? Give God a praise in here today. Thank you so much. And thank you, Pastor, and all of you who have allowed me to be here. I don't take it lightly. And how about, you know, the singing, praise God. If you heard me sing, you know why God gave me muscles. Amen. I can't sing or play an instrument, but I break stuff really good.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, man. Because, you know, a little bit different. Now, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be over there at Destiny in Moequa. Yeah. I'm learning new stuff all the time. I'll be there at 6 o'clock with John Jacobs, the leader and founder. Now, Pastor, a few people would say, you know, breaking handcuffs. We're going to break handcuffs. I'm going to roll up frying pans into burritos. I'm going to snap the bat over my back. And you may ask, you know, I wonder what all that has to do with Jesus, though. Nothing. I tell you, there's nothing spiritual about snapping a bat over your thigh. Come on, somebody. Amen. And you know what? All this stuff is tonight, it's a bait. When you fish in Illinois, you got to use bait. If you want to catch the right fish, you use the right type of bait. Come on, somebody. We found a bait that works. Last year alone, over 14,000 people surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I told my brother recently we had 2 Hell's Angels saved. We had 33 men get saved at one of our meetings about 6 months ago. To God be the glory. Amen. And, you know, tonight is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. But, you know, you never know. And let me just explain it this way. It's worth it to come tonight just to see who shows up. We have the most unlikely people show up to our meetings. Recently, we had 2 city mayors get saved. We had a police chief get saved. We had 2 Hell's Angels get saved. And I've been doing this now 30 years. We've been to 40 countries. We've been all over the world. And if I get excited, just forgive me, but I get pumped up talking about Jesus. Because, guess what? Just when I thought, Pastor, I'd seen it all, we're in Houston, Texas. And a Sunday morning we're preaching, and a man in the back with wild hair, a vulgar t-shirt on, he's getting saved. He's weeping and just crying out to Jesus. I'm like, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, he gets up to come to the altar call. And he comes down and he's crying. You know what the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart? Don't judge him. Amen. Go pray for him. Jesus was a friend to sinners. So I went down and did what he said to do. And I laid hands on him, Pastor, and I said, sir, are you getting saved? Yes, I'm getting saved. And he was crying. He was so sincere. but I wasn't ready for what he was going to say next. He whispered something in my ear I'll never forget as long as I live. He says, I've robbed two banks. I said, what? He said, I've robbed two banks. We had a modern day bank robber in our Sunday morning service. So you know what I did, right? I said, sir, tonight if you bring every criminal you know from this county, I'll break the police handcuffs just for you. That night he brings 19 men. You know who they were? The leading crystal meth dealers and drug dealers in that county. All 19 men got saved. We had a breakout meeting and the sheriff calls us 2 weeks later. You won't believe what he says. I don't know what happened up at that little church a few weeks ago, but I'd like the power force to come every month. He said, because our crime rates dropped in half. Come on, somebody. How many know tonight? How many know? We don't need Steve Carey to rip another phone book or rip a license plate. You know what we need in our church is a good old-fashioned God happening that changes something. Amen? So tonight, if you can make it, hey, if you have plans, change your mind, come on out. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun. But the most important part of it is not us breaking things. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men into himself. Amen? And I got to tell you, Pastor, I think your people are going to get fired up about this. John and I, we get to go where preachers can't go. You know where we go? The greatest missions field in the world today, America's public schools. Come on, grandparents, are you with me? Hey, how many think our kids need some heroes, need some encouragement? They need someone to tell them the truth. Last week in Trinity, Texas, I did three school assemblies. You know what I talked about? Be a leader, not a follower. You know what we talk about? If you want to follow the negative crowd, you better know where it's going. That's where you're going to end up. Come on. You know what we tell them? Hey, be a dream maker, not a dream breaker. Hey, be a hero versus a bully zero. And the kids, you know what? We give every kid a flyer to come to the revival, and they come by the hundreds. And we saw Dad saved last week. We saw an 82-year-old grandpa saved last week. How many know it's never too late for Jesus? Come on. And you know what? We were just in Cleveland, Ohio. You know what the principal said? 8 out of 10 of our kids don't have a dad at home. Woo, folks. And then he asked me to feel his rib cage. And I said, sir, you have a bulletproof vest on. He said, yes, I do. I've been wearing it for the last 2 years with my whole staff, mandatory. We're in fear of being killed dead on the campus. Folks, you ready for this one? I got shocked again. Guess what? We were in Illinois about two and a half months ago. Now, this one really got me because I've never seen this. The principal, he asked us to go. You know, I think it was outside of, anyone here in Mount Vernon? Yeah, outside of that area. The principal says, come here, don't say anything. He takes us to the boys' restroom. And John and I look at each other and we're looking. I go, no, what are those for? He goes, those are kitty litter boxes for our kids to use if they identify with the feline race. I said, what? He said, no, they use the restroom in the kitty litter boxes. I said, you got to be kidding me. Folks, we've got every demon in hell coming after our kids right now. The devil's on a full-out assault and attack on our kids. Come on, somebody. But how many know when we go into the school, guess what we do before every assembly? We raise both hands and we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, help these kids, encourage these kids. Lord, help them to make good choices. We can't preach Jesus, the J word. Hello. You know what? I went in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're going to laugh at this. And I wear my John 3:16 t-shirt everywhere I go, even in the schools. And the principal saw me walk in. It looked like he saw a ghost. He looks at me and goes, I said, I'm still going to the principal's office at 57 years old. Amen. I walked up to him, Pastor. He goes, sir. I go, I know. You're going to ask me to turn my shirt inside out. Yes, please turn that inside out. We don't want any problems with religion. We don't. And he goes on this whole thing. So you know what I did? I was a little ornery. I said, sir, do you have any cash in your pocket? He says, well, I do happen to have some. What do you need? I said, well, on our money, it says, in God we trust. Why is it good enough for our money and not our babies? So if it's got the word God on your money, you might be offended. You don't need it. I'll take it. Thank you. He winks at me and says, I'll just leave your shirt right side out. In America, if you don't stand for Jesus, you'll fall for anything. Amen. So you know what? Some of our school assemblies, You won't believe it. We just had a Jehovah Witness principal. He said, after the assembly, he said, this was the greatest assembly. I'm dismissing all the classes. I'm going to allow you to pray with all 800 of my students in the auditorium. A historical miracle. I've never heard of this before. 600 kids show up. I pray for them. They get flyers to come back to the revival. Guess who shows up? The Jehovah Witness principal. He brings his wife, two sons who are on the football team. They all get saved, and he ain't a Jehovah Witness anymore. Come on. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. God is so faithful. God is so good. But I just want to share real quick. I don't have a lot of time. I've only got a couple hours here, so let's dig in. Everybody looked up. Amen. Praise the Lord. But how many think these kids are worth it? How many think the schools are worth it? How many think the mission field needs to be gone to? Amen. I mean, we're doing what we can, and I tell you, we're just seeing God move in these schools, and I'm believing for a breakout in the school assemblies. Did you know the Holy Spirit said this will be our greatest impact in the schools than more than 40 years combined? 2024, more than ever before. Praise the Lord. And how many think it's worth it? If you could go into a school and stop a young person from, you know, suicide's the second leading killer now of our kids. 4 million teen alcoholics, 2 million teen runaways. I had a gentleman a month ago, you'll laugh, he comes up, he goes, brother, you can't save them all now. I said, what if we save one? Not we, but he saves them. He left the 99 for the one, amen? Our schools are in trouble. 2 million teen runaways. You know what? When I go in the school, I represent Jesus, not Budweiser, the King of Beers, but I represent Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. Amen? So you know what? How many think we need to be in the schools? How many think we need to go to the mission field? Now, we go overseas, Pastor, but I tell you, our business right now is on American soil. Come on. This is a family church, am I right? Family church. I'm going to talk to you like a family. We've got to reach some of these kids. And let me tell you, like I said, I can't reach all 1 million and save them all. But if we save one or two, to God be the glory. If we hold the rope, to God be the glory. Amen? And you know what? I got to tell you, it's not easy. Because, you know, here's the thing. I get this question, Pastor, more than anything. Hey, what you're doing, does it really work? Does it work? Well, I've been doing this now going on 30 years. John, 44 years. I'm doing a school assembly, and I'm up in Iowa. You won't believe it. I walk in. First of all, there was a grandma on Friday. You know what she says to me? And I love grandmas. You know my heart for grandmas. You're a blessing. You just had a birthday, right? And can I ask the number? What? God bless you. I want to be like her. 91, you are such a precious soul. Hallelujah. This right here, this is what it's all about, folks. Let's not make a mistake here. You know what? My grandma was 95. My mother-in-law's 92. And you're precious. So a grandma comes up to me in Iowa, and it's Friday. We had five school assemblies scheduled, Pastor. Five in one day on a Friday. Whew. And it's not easy because, you know, to do the school assembly, it costs us $1,000 to do a whole 45-minute school assembly, to see a whole school impacted, then every kid gets a flyer to bring their parents at night and grandparents, we see a whole community changed. Well, here's this grandma. She comes up and goes, Brother Steve, can you just do one more school for me? And you know my heart for grandmas. She goes, my granddaughter, she's in the school, and she is going through tough times. Her father's the meanest drunk in town, and her mom's a heroin addict. I said, well, Grandma, we already have five. You know what she does? She pulls out her checkbook, and she goes, I'm going to sponsor the school in the name of my granddaughter. She writes a check for $1,000 and said, please, would you go to the school? Well, how do you turn it down? Grandma's, she's sitting there crying, and we go, okay, we'll do six in one day. Everybody say, that's a lot. She sponsored the school in faith and for her grandbaby. She even wrote her name on the envelope right there. So I go to the school, and guess what? I show up early to pray for the school assembly. And over 800 kids are in this middle school, 7th and 8th grade. And I see a little girl. We're doing all our feats of strength and doing all. She didn't move for 45 minutes. And I noticed, Pastor, she had big black wristbands on. I thought, ooh, the Holy Spirit said, she's a self-cutter. I went up to her after the assembly. You know what I said? Hey, how'd you like the assembly? You know what she says? What do you care, man? What do you care? And she was angry. I said, well, honey, I do care. I have 5 minutes and I got to go do the next school. I go, here's a flyer. Could you come to our revival tonight? Yeah, my dad's the meanest drunk in town. And my mom's a heroin addict and she shoots up.
Oh, boy.
Now it all came together. That grandma's grandbaby, that was her. And I said, you know what? If your mom and dad won't bring you, we'll get you a ride from the church van. Sure enough. She says, you know what she says to me, Pastor? She goes, I'll go if I can bring my volleyball team. I said, you got a deal. Okay, you got a deal, sir. Pick them all up, 14 on the volleyball team and her. Front row seats, VIP. We preached the gospel. That girl was the first, the wristbands, self-cutter. She was the first one off there. She gave her heart to Jesus. The whole volleyball team got saved. She turns around and looks at me. You know what she says? I apologize for being mean to you. My name's Ray Ray Santos. My dad's the meanest drunk in town, and he's so violent, I can't take it. And my mom shoots up right in front of us. I said, let's pray for mom and dad to get saved. She goes, oh, my dad. I said, let's pray. The next night, her mom gets saved. The pastor gets her a rehab home to get her into to get cleaned up. And I said, we've got daddy to go. Let's pray. Put my hand with hers. We prayed in agreement. Come on. According to Matthew 18:19, I said, daddy's coming home. Guess what happens, brother? 6'8", 400 pounds the next night at the door. Cowboy hat on, cigarettes rolled up in both sleeves. I said, we're big boys. That's a real big boy. Little did I know, Ray Ray's daddy showed up. And that night, guess what? He stood back there just like this. He didn't move the whole service. You want to know when he moved? I put the handcuffs on. Pow! And I heard him go, yeah! You know what I said? Holy Spirit, whoever that is, you got him now. Bring him in. He came running to that altar, bowed his knee, gave his heart to the Lord. Ray Ray goes, my daddy got saved. My daddy got saved. You know what he says? Preacher, I have a note for you. He gives him a note. Before Jesus, it says, this family better not ever come looking for me. I don't want to know any of you. I disown all of you. That's before Jesus. Before, sir. After Jesus, you know what he yells? Hey, where do I get baptized? I want to get baptized with my family right now. You know what the preacher says? Fill up the hole. We're baptizing tonight. We baptize. Hallelujah. We baptize him. He got saved. The biggest news in town, the meanest drunk in town, gets saved. He gets Jesus. And you know what happens? Here's the best part. I'm going to the van with the pastor to go to the airport. And Ray Ray goes, hold on, Steve. Hold on. I got a gift for you. She hands me the razor blade she was cutting herself with. She says, I want you to have this as a memorial to my wife. You know what it says? Steve, this is the razor I used to cut myself with. I don't need it anymore because I know God loves me and has a plan for my life. You, sir, are my hero and Jesus. You know what? One act of faith from one grandma to sponsor one school. See, I got all the hand claps. Oh, good job, Steve. Way to go, Steve. No, that one precious grandma stood in the gap for her family and said, I'll do whatever it takes. And God honored her faith. She was a rope holder, and she wouldn't let go of her family. Hallelujah. And how many know God honors faith? Amen. We went to, how many know when COVID hit, it shut all the churches down? Remember that? And how people give determines how many schools we go to. Does that make sense? So we got shut down for 5 months. We had no way to make it. But guess what? The Lord said, I'm going to send you to the Lake of the Ozarks. And a businessman said, I want you to do 27 crusades around the Lake of the Ozarks. You know what he said? Don't worry about how big they are or how much money they have. Just go and watch what I'll do. I'm bringing heroes to you.
Bringing heroes? What's that mean?
What? I never even been to Lake of the Ozarks. I sold my house to survive through COVID. I told my wife, I guess we'll get a little trailer, take our two dogs, and we're going to Lake of the Ozarks. She goes, huh? Where is that? I go, I don't know, but we're going in Jesus' name. We got 27 to 30 crusades scheduled around the lake. Country rule churches. Little churches like this. And guess what? A 92-year-old grandma on our first crusade. In Climax Springs, 194 people in the town. Praise God. Everybody say little. I show up, there's 15 people in church service. Everyone say small. But God said, I'm sending heroes and don't worry about money. A 92-year-old grandma got one of our envelopes. You know what she said? You're not going under, son. Your ministry's about to take a jump and go over. And I said, praise the Lord. I didn't even know what she meant. She said, open this envelope. I'm going to start the momentum of miracles. You know what she said after my message? I'm a rope holder. I said, praise God, grandma. She goes, open it up, son. Yes, ma'am. She put a check in here. She goes, I'm going to sponsor the first 10 schools. $10,000. She sponsored 10 schools. She said, remember what I told you. You're not going under. You're going over. And then I'm in shock. My mouth, I'm like, what? 10 schools. The next city was Roach, Missouri. A 16-year-old girl got one of our envelopes. She's a little waitress at the restaurant. She sponsors 4 schools, $4,000. And says, I want kids to go to heaven for Jesus. The next, you won't believe it. We had 2 homeless people last year sponsor a school. A lady in the front row had a little bitty baby. She took our envelope. I saw her do it. She put 10 $100 bills in. You know what she said? I'm going to sponsor a school in the name of my baby. The father left me and will never support it. And she goes, by the way, we're homeless. I said, what? Who has this kind? She goes, I'm homeless. And, you know, I tried to be real spiritual. I'll be honest with all of you. And I said, she put it in my hand. I go, here, you keep that. She goes, you ain't taking my blessing. She goes, this is for my baby. Don't tell me God won't take care of your business when you take care of his. Because 2 weeks later, guess what? A contractor from the church heard she needed a home for her baby. He went and bought, he didn't tell anyone but the preacher. Went and got her house, refurbished it. They presented it to her in front of the church. It was worth $143,000. How many know when you take care of God's business and you pull for a child, God will take care of your business. Amen. So you know what? Today I want to just share, just for the next few minutes, real quick, and some of my story. And I want to be a friend of this church, not just a guest speaker. I don't do speaking engagements. I do divine appointments. Come on, are you with me, church? Amen. I'd like to come back here. We do a crusade and reach this little region in this area. How many think that'd be great? Amen. Do some of the school. Are there schools around here in this area? I don't know. We're out in the field. I love it, man. I feel at home here. Praise God. I grew up on the hunting grounds, and I grew up on the farmer's land, and my dad worked with all the farmers in our county there. And how many schools are in this area, you think, if anyone was guessing? What do you got? 2 or 3? How many? About 8 schools. You know what would really kick the devil in the teeth? I'll be honest with you. How many know, and I told your pastor, the major artery to every community is the public schools. I said, how many know they're the major artery? If we did all 8 schools and they all got flyers like this, every kid gets a flyer right here. And you know what we tell them? If you bring it, we'll autograph it tonight. And they drag their parents by the hundreds to come out. And we see big, tough, redneck dads get saved. We see the tough bikers get saved. Amen. Praise God. So you know what? Think about 3,000 or 2,000 cards going out. We do revival here every night. We'll have an explosion. We'll have people coming from everywhere. Amen. How many think that'd be a good old-fashioned devil kick and devil whipping time? Amen. Come on. And we'll see some kids get saved, some daddies get saved. Amen. So you know what? Let's be praying about that, okay? All of us be praying about that for the Lord, and we'll see what God's going to do. But I'm going to share the next couple minutes. How many know God's put us here to make a difference? Amen. More than to take up space and breathe oxygen, God's put us here on this earth to make a difference. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause. Christ is the cure. Life is but a vapor. It appears for a moment. It vanishes away. You know what God can do? He can do more in 5 minutes than you and I can do working hard 50 years. Woo! Come on, somebody. God's put us here to have an impact. You can't make an impact till you make a contact. What's that mean, Brother Steve? You got to reach people. You got to reach out. Get out of our comfort zone. Amen. And you know what? I want to just share real quick one of my favorite stories in the Bible out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, 1 through 12. You know what this story talks about, Pastor? A man who's a paralytic, who's a cripple, who cannot help himself, and he has four friends. Everyone say four friends. His four friends were so determined, focused, they were on a mission, they were serious. And you know what my Bible says? They were so moved, they wanted to get their friend on the mat to the house where Jesus was. How many know where Jesus is? Things are happening. Come on. The healer was in the house. So they go through all this trouble. They go through all the work. They do the push. They want to get him there. And my Bible says when they get to the house, there were so many visitors, they couldn't even get near the door. Everyone say big crowd. Yeah, but they didn't get discouraged. They didn't get disgruntled. They didn't hang their head, shame it, blame it, curse it, nurse it, rehearse it. We've come all this way. Look at the crowd. We'll never get you there. They didn't say, we got a busy schedule, brother. Hey, you be blessed, be warm, be filled. We'll come back another day. Hallelujah. No. They were aggressive and assertive. They climbed to the top of the roof. They bust a hole through the roof. How many know that's getting pretty serious? Amen. How many know they had an agenda and a plan, and they were going to see it happen? And you know what drove them to get their friend to Jesus? Compassion. Compassion moves you out of your comfort zone. Now, if I would have been one of the four men on the top of the roof, Pastor, I probably would have said, wow, great. Good job. How are we going to get him off the mat down to Jesus? You can't slide him off the mat through the hole in the roof, amen? Come on. Come on, I'm thinking out of the box. There were probably four corners like this sheet of paper, and they probably tied a rope, a twine, something to each corner of the mat. And my Bible says they lowered him down in front of Jesus, and Jesus saw their effort. No, their faith. He saw their faith. 29 years I've been traveling full time, 47 weeks a year. I traveled 12 hours just to be here yesterday. People say, my gosh, wow, do you get tired? Do you ever get hurt snapping a bat? Does it leave a mark on your thigh? Every time. Why do you do it? Because I'm a rope holder. I'm a rope holder for Jesus. And they lowered him down in front of Jesus. He saw their faith. And the Bible says in verse 12, and the man jumped up, went out into the presence of them all, saying, guess what? We've never seen anything like this. You know what we hear every crusade, Pastor? Every week, last week in Trinity, Steve, my grandson, got saved. I've never seen anything like this. Hey, Steve, my daughter got saved. She was a heroin addict, 20 years old. I've never seen anything like this. We're just guys willing to be radical enough to hold the rope and push and motivate and let the Holy Spirit save them. We don't save anybody. Jesus does all the saving, amen? Let's be very careful to know the Holy Spirit has the pulling power. Come on. Yeah, I can break handcuffs, but I can't do what the Holy Spirit does. You know why I love this story so much? It's my story. You know, when I was born, doctors told my daddy, your son will never walk. Your son will never talk. I grew up with leg braces like Forrest Gump and a cane in each hand. I was the skinniest, weakest kid in my school, and I couldn't say two words. I think God has a sense of humor for sure. Because here I am preaching Jesus and breaking bats for the glory of God. Does God have a plan or what? Who would have ever imagined me being on a power team, traveling all over the world preaching? I hated to speak in front of people. And here I am, I can't walk. Skinniest kid in my school, Skeleton Boy was my nickname. And I shuffled both feet, a cane in each hand. And I said, I'm going to be a basketball player. You know what all my friends said? We won't pick you. There's no hope for you. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You can't run fast enough. But I had Jesus. That's more than enough. Amen. But I had a rope holding daddy. Come on, somebody. Woo! He took me to church 3 days a week. Come on. And you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, he connected me with an NFL strength coach. I'll be sharing more of the story tonight at 6 o'clock. And you know what? He began to work with me every day. And he began to train me how to walk with my own strength. And he took the canes away. And then he helped me walk. And he said, push, push. You can do all things through Christ. Come on, you're fearfully, wonderfully made. He began a good work. He'll finish it. Ooh, nobody saw the good work. But what I had in me was a seed of potential. Every one of you have the same seed. And guess what? I went on to shock the world. Jesus did, amen, through me, amen. I didn't do anything. He did it all. And the first day back, I worked 5 months on my legs through rehab and therapy. I worked with a therapist to speak. 5 months. I went into my classroom again and everyone went, whoa, what happened? I walked in with my head up. I was so proud and I said, told you so. Told you so. You should have picked me. You shouldn't have counted me out. Tried out for the track team, fastest kid in my whole school. Captain of my high school basketball team. We won a state championship, MVP honors. I got a scholarship at Arkansas University. Remember me? There's no hope for you. See, they looked at the outside. God looks at the inside. He began a good work. He'll finish the good work. You know what? When you read the Bible, all through the Bible, you ever notice, Pastor, he took nobodies and made somebodies. He took losers, he made winners. He took impossibilities and made impossibilities. Well, that's a good story for you, Brother Steve, but I'm not called to ministry like that. I wish I was. Sure you are. Are you a child of God? Yes. Amen. You're called. But I don't have a degree. You're called. I can't speak
like Pastor.
Yeah, but you're called. I can't break bats like you, Steve, so you're called. Do what you can with what you have where you're at. And God will increase what you have and he won't leave you where you're at.
Amen.
But, do you have a neighbor? You have a neighbor? Do you have a Bible? Do you have a coffee pot? Welcome to full-time ministry. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a platform preacher to be in the ministry. What do I got to do? Give him your little bit. Just do what you can with what you have where you're at. Who would have imagined God would have picked me to touch millions of lives all over the world? Me, a crippled, stuttering boy. You know, think about it. That's pretty interesting. I'll give you an example. I'll go quick. I don't have a lot of time. L.A., I'm preaching in a church, 3,000 strong, 3 services, 1,000 per service. I couldn't believe it, but this sanctuary was so big, Pastor. It was like as big as a football field. Had a door every 10 feet all the way around, but it had miniature coffee bars at every one of these little doors. And precious sweet grandmas with church I love grandmas. They're my favorite, and they have a hotline to heaven, by the way. Well, you need a prayer request answered, you get a grandma praying. Am I telling the truth? Come on. She knows what I'm talking about right here. I know. And you know what? They have the little church greeter badges on, and I walked through. They gave me a cup of coffee and a Bible memory verse and a scripture. She says, here, Brother Steve, God bless you. I said, man, this is so impressive. Who's leading this whole grandma brigade thing going on in the church here? She said, well, Grandma Lois is over there. She's been here 44 years. I went, hey, Grandma Lois, and I ran over to her, and the closer I got to her, the smaller she became. She was 4'2", God bless her, but with her hair, she was 6'10", amen? She had some big grandma hair, amen? Come on. She had that Holy Ghost honey bun hairdo way up there. And I put my arm around Grandma Lois. I said, Grandma Lois, what a precious soul you are. Thank you for all you do for the kingdom. Thank you for serving coffee. We love you. God bless. She said, oh, stop. It's nothing like you do. See, she says, we love Walker, Texas Ranger. And I heard Chuck Norris got saved. Yes, ma'am, he got saved. Chuck Norris got saved at our meeting in Dallas, Texas, became a Christian. We got on the Walker, Texas Ranger show. She goes, we watch Walker every single week at our church. We love Chuck Norris. And I said, Grandma Lois, you're so precious. She goes, I just serve coffee, but you're famous. You're a superstar. You know Chuck Norris. I go, Grandma Lois, now wait a minute. Did you know you serving coffee and me breaking bats on Walker? Guess what? It's the same to God. Come on. Hey, he doesn't compare us or compete us against each other. Did you know at the foot of the cross? I bet most people don't know this, Pastor. At the foot of the cross this morning, we're all on level playing field. There's no big me, little you. We're all God's kids. And she starts crying. No one's ever told me that. Thank you. And I prayed with her. She gave me a big grandma kiss. Hallelujah. Made my whole Sunday. And I said, you go serve coffee, Grandma. You go pray for those and you encourage them. She did what she could. She was a rope holder by serving coffee. Praise the Lord. She did her little part for the kingdom. But I got to tell you, I'm a pretty radical rope puller. I know there's some here, but guess what? This guy, I'm going to tell you about, 6'5", 6'6", 280, biggest forearms you've ever seen, big head of curly blonde hair. He, you know what he did for a living? Ran angel desk from L.A. to Mexico with the Hell's Angels. Bad to the bone. His first drug deal was 11 years old. His mom, the only woman to hold a patch with the Hell's Angels. His dad is the president of Hell's Angels. This guy at one time was the meanest criminal in America. This guy knew no fear, Pastor. He feared no man. He was an 8th degree black belt in Isshinryu karate and hand-to-hand combat. You know what he did for fun? Every year he went to Mardi Gras. Not to party, to get in fights. One fight he beat up 22 men, came out with not one single mark on him. Okay, he was tough. He was rough. But he had a praying grandma. She was a Pentecostal grandma, if I may say so. She was full of the power and Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, she was about this tall. Sweet little, she was 90 pounds soaking wet, but full of the power of God and was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, every day he'd take her food to her assisted living. And every day she did the same routine. Billy, have a seat. Big tough, 6'5", 280, thought he was bad to the bone. You know what she'd do? She'd speak to him with the gift of faith. Billy, one day you're going to be saved, boy. You're going to be set free, and you're going to be my preacher. That's calling things that aren't as though they are. Hello. That's walking in the gift of faith. You know what Bill would say every day? I don't want to hear about God. We're going to party in hell. I'm tough. I fear. I don't believe in God. One day you're going to be saved, you're going to be set free, and you're going to be a preacher. Jesus loves you, this I know, for my Bible tells me so. She'd sing it every day. Little ones to him belong, they're weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. And the big, tough Hell's Angel would cry. He'd get convicted, and he'd say, I got to go, Grandma, I'll see you tomorrow. He'd jump up and run out. And she said, Holy Spirit, sick him. Bring him in. Make his life miserable. Bring him in. He's going to be saved. He's going to be a preacher. Don't tell me grandmas don't have a hotline to heaven, because they do. But that man, he went to do a drug deal. He didn't do the drug deal. Long story short, stood in front of a mirror in a hotel with the Hell's Angels below him on the first floor. He's on the second floor. And he looks in the mirror and he hears grandma's words. Billy, Jesus loves you, this I know, for my Bible tells me so. Little, and there he goes crying again, falls to his knees, and he says, if you're real like my grandma says so, then save me. Save me, God. I dare you to save me. Make me a heaven's angel. I don't want to be a hell's angel. I mean, you know, when you get out of the hell's angels, usually it's not with your life. They take you down and they take all your secrets. Am I telling the truth, brother? He's a biker. He knows what I'm talking about. Your secrets go to the grave with you. He made it out. Guess where he ends up 9 months later? Anyone want to take a guess? Give you one guess. He was a preacher, all right. On our stage with us, rolling up, breaking handcuffs, rolling up pants, sharing his testimony. He averaged 5 to 7 people winning him to the Lord per day. Not on stage. Walmart, Subway, restaurants, airplanes, trains, automobiles, biker. He'd go to Sturgis, brother, every year and share his testimony, how God delivered him and saved him. Hundreds would get saved. Whew. And when you saw this guy walking, man, he was huge. Tattoos from his wrist to his neck. People would walk to the other side of the street when he walked down, amen. But on his leathers, brother, he had heaven's angels on it, right on the patch. And you know what he had? A little 7-year-old girl, the biggest head of curly blonde hair you've ever seen in your life. And he put her on his shoulders. This dude had big, broad shoulders, 280 pounds, and he'd walk into a hotel or a street corner. Sturgis, I saw him stand there, and his little daughter, Jessica, took a mic. Daddy, should I tell him or should you tell him? I don't know, baby. He had a real deep voice, rough. He used to do heroin. He was tough and rough. He did cocaine. He said, baby girl, should you tell him or should I tell him? I don't know, Daddy. Should you tell him or should I tell him? I don't know. And they go back and forth with this skit. Hundreds would get around him. And someone would say, tell us what, baby? Tell us. She goes, I'll tell you, all right. My daddy used to be a dope dealer. Now he's a hope dealer. My daddy used to do drug deals. Now he does hope deals for Jesus, and he loves the Lord. He's not mean, and he prays with me and my mom every night. Maybe you need to get to know Jesus like me and my dad. Hundreds would get saved. Hundreds with the skit. Should I tell them? Now, how many know sometimes bad things happen to good people? I don't know why, but I know God's sovereign. He knows it all, beginning to the end. She comes down with leukemia, blood cancer. 3 rounds of chemo, lost her hair. She lost her weight. She's in a hospital room. We had hundreds and thousands praying for her nationwide. Holding her daddy's hand in that hospital bed, she said, Daddy, I hate the devil. He did this to me. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Closed her eyes. She went to be with the Lord. People said, gosh, you prayed. What happened? He said, hey, she's with Jesus now. She has no more pain. And you know what? She has no more tears. And you know what? They took her body to the bottom floor of the hospital, the morgue. You know what happened? Bill says, I want to go see my little girl. Went to the head nurse. She goes, I'll take you down there. They go down a freight elevator, walk in. There's a freezer door. She pulls it open. She's on a table with a sheet. True story. Bill, you know Bill, right? He just walks up, scoops her up. Baby girl, I know you're with Jesus. I tell him I love him. I miss you. I'll see you real soon. This isn't goodbye. This is a temporary separation. Come on. And the nurse is bawling, watching the whole thing go on. She can't keep it together. She's crying. She goes, I go to church. I'm a good religious person. I've been a Methodist for 22 years, and I never miss a Sunday. Bill put his little girl back down on the table, put the sheet up to her neck right here. He goes, really, ma'am? She goes, I bring hundreds of parents down here. They curse God and blame God, and you praise God. Now, how does that work? Your daughter's dead. He goes, oh no, she's alive. She's with Jesus. We're going to see our loved ones again one day. She has a mansion just over the hilltop. Hallelujah. And the maid, she's crying. The nurse is crying. She goes, I've been a Methodist 22 years, but I don't know the Jesus you know. Come on. Come on. I don't know the Jesus you know. Whoa. So you know what Bill does, right? Bill's out of the box, man. He's a rope holder. You know what he does? He looks at his baby, Jesse. He called her Jess. Jesse, should I tell her or should you tell her? You're with Jesus, baby girl. I'm going to do it for you, for your memory, for your memorial. Ma'am, would you give me the honor to lead you down the Romans road, please? You want to know Jesus? Yes. You want your name written in the book? Yes. Let me have your hand, please. Would you kneel with me? They knelt down as a memorial to Jesse. The last time they do the skit, should I tell them or you tell them? And he led her in the sinner's prayer. And she prayed it wholeheartedly. And her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Steve, why do you tell that story? I don't. In her death and in her life, Jessie was a rope holder. She wanted to get her hand on the rope and get one more, just one more person close to Jesus. That's all she ever talked about. She won all her friends to Jesus because she was a radical rope holder like her daddy. You know, if I think about this, Pastor. If she can do that in her death, what's my excuse? If we have air in our lungs tonight at 6 o'clock, Destiny Church, right? Is that the name, Destiny Church? What would be our excuse? We've got to get there by any means necessary. We got to encourage people to be rope holders. We got to get people close to Jesus. Amen. It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish. It's not where you've been, it's where you're going. Amen. Would you bow your heads? No one move, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Life is short, death is sure. Sin is the cause, Christ is the cure. If you're here today and you're here and you'd say, you know, Steve, I'm not really where I need to be spiritually. Well, thank God you're in the right place, the right time. But I'm out of time. I've got to pray. If you want me to lead you in a simple prayer, if you want to make Jesus Lord of every single area of your life, maybe you're doing things he'd never do, going places he'd never go. I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows. It's between you and Jesus. I'd like to pray for you today. So no one's embarrassed. I'm going to count to 3. If you want me to count you in that prayer, slip your hand up. Men, women, young people, doesn't matter. First time, rededication. Maybe you're a member here. Maybe you're not. Yeah, I know it's a great church family here. This is a family church. Thank you, Jesus. But if you need that prayer to count for you, heads are bowed, just slip your hand up on the count of three. One, two, three. Slip it up quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, sir, ma'am. I see that hand. Anyone else? It's between you and Jesus. No one's looking. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. You just want to settle this right now. Right here, let's take care of business. Anyone else? One more? Looking one last. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Simply between you and the Lord. All of heaven pulls for you today. Is there anyone else before I pray? I don't want to leave. Thank you, ma'am. I don't want to miss one person. Could be for first time, rededication. I don't care. By nature, we're all drifters, including me. We're all in this together. How many? Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. I'm looking one last time and we're going to pray. You may put those hands down. So no one's embarrassed. I want to have the honor, the privilege to lead you in this simple, powerful prayer. So no one's embarrassed. Would everyone just pray it after me and say it out loud? Would everyone in this room say, Dear Lord Jesus, here I am, Lord. I surrender all to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Be my very best friend. Today I am yours. Today, Lord, you are mine. I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come in, change me, rearrange me, and start me over again. Make me brand new. Today I receive salvation. Today I receive forgiveness. And today I receive eternal life. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. Woo!